Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca, our daily podcast entitled Fired Up, and we're fired up. We're in Canada here. We're based out of Canada. And my Hall of Fame friend, Steve Carney, WDA Radio, is based out of Tampa Bay, Florida. It's hockey season. Well, what's the temperature in Tampa today?
Well, Joe, we're in the upper 80s today. You know, low temperatures in the mid-70s. So, you know, we're probably up around 20, to put it into in the Celsius, you know,
26.
We're in the we're a little warmer than that. We're 28 or 29 when it comes to the highs, the lows. Yeah, the lows are around 25, 26.
All right, so that's Steve Carney, Barn Burner's weather forecaster now. But anyways, hockey season is back, and let's, you know, I feel like the Chicago Cubs last year took 108 years. This is the 50th year anniversary that the Maple Leafs have last won the Stanley Cup, and we go in here with a lot of hope, a lot that the Maple Leafs are going to do something. Let's first start off, you're in Tampa. How do you think, well, Tampa's in the Maple Leafs division or Maple Leafs in Tampa division, how are the, in your eyes, Maple Leafs going to fare this season?
Well, I think that they have a lot of expectations on them. I think Austin Matthews, when you have a rookie season like he did, I think that it just, you're now expecting even more from a second-year player as opposed to a rookie and an 18-year-old kid getting his first taste of professional hockey. I certainly think that the Leafs are definitely contenders, in the division. I don't think that they'll end up winning the division, but I certainly think that they could finish second or third and find themselves with a good postseason seed if they have a good season. And again, that's going to take some more good play from Austin Matthews. I think that as Matthews goes, the Leafs will go this year. And he was fantastic last year. He led them basically on the cusp, and I think that they expect more.
All right, let's stay off in the Maple Leafs Atlantic Division. Let's go to your team, Tampa, Steven Stamkos. First question, Steven Stamkos, 100% healthy?
Yes, 100% healthy. In fact, not only is Steven Stamkos 100% healthy, Ryan Callahan is also 100% healthy to start the year as well. This is a guy that they only got 9 games out of last year. Basically, the grit and the toughness, especially in the corners, is what Callahan is best known for. And missing him last year, I think, hurt almost as much as losing Stamkos for the second half of the season. So having both of those guys back 100% healthy is a huge piece of the Lightning's hopeful run to a division title. They expect they're looking not just to make the playoffs after missing the postseason last year. They want to win an Atlantic Division title, and I think that having both Stamkos and Callahan back 100% is a huge piece for them.
All right, and Steve Yzerman did an amazing job in the offseason picking up players and keeping players. So basically, he was the GM of the offseason. Now, a lot of people don't remember, the Ottawa Senators made it to the conference finals. How do you think Ottawa is going to do this year?
Yeah, you know, I think that Ottawa ran on the back of their goaltender last year, and you know, with the tragedy involving Glenn Anderson's family, I think that he missed some significant time to make sure that his wife has was undergoing cancer treatments, and I think that that really weighed on them, but it also motivated them. I think that being able to focus 100% on hockey this year, I see him as a very tough opponent for any NHL team this year.
All right. And Craig Anderson signing a 2-year extension. Kudos to Ottawa there. Now, let's talk about two teams that, let's face it, I'll be surprised if they crack the top four in the Atlantic Division, the Florida Panthers and Detroit Red Wings, who move into the pizza. Yes, Little Caesars Arena, the pizza. By the way, you like Little Caesars? Never mind.
You know, I've had it a couple of times.
All right. And Florida is missing some guy who used to have a ponytail. Maybe he still has a mullet. I don't know. Jaromir Jagr. Does that have an effect on Florida this year?
Yeah, I think it really will. Despite his advanced age, I think Jaromir Jagr was such a big influential piece to setting up the forwards down in Sunrise. You basically had guys learning from one of the greatest players that has ever laced up skates. And I think that not having him this year is going to be enormous for the Panthers this year. I think that Jagr basically was the keystone. And even though he was not, he's not scoring 60 or 70 goals anymore, let's face it, nobody is. But I certainly think that that his presence is and the lack of his presence on the bench is going to be a big, big loss for the Panthers.
All right. What about Detroit? Finally missing out the postseason after 25 years, as I mentioned, moving into Little Caesars Arena there. What do you expect from the Red Wings? Do they bounce back and make the playoffs, or it's still another couple years?
Well, I think that they're probably going to run into the same situation as some of the other teams in the NHL that don't want to really blow it up and begin again. You know, I think that they probably stay on the cusp of the playoffs and by staying on the cusp, they don't get one of those really, really high picks in the draft. And by not getting a really high pick, they basically have to, to use a different sports colloquialism, you're going to have to knock the ball out of the park on every draft pick if you don't have one right at the top of the draft every year. So I think that it is going to be at least another year before Detroit finds itself ready for another to start another run of postseason berths.
All right. So now we got Montreal, Buffalo, and Boston. Let's start off with Boston. What do you think the Bruins have to do to let's face it, the top probably four or five teams in the division make the playoffs? Are Boston, I know Montreal is going to be considered, Buffalo maybe finishing last again, but are Boston going to be in contender to make the postseason, and can they get over the hump of winning a round or two?
Yeah, I think that if they are, it's going to be good for having a guy like Travis Pasternak, who they signed this past offseason. And to get there, they're going to need another great year from Tuukka Rask. And their goaltending is what has let them down at times. And I think that they certainly feel that they could, I think it could end up with a chance at the postseason, but I don't see them getting anything more than one of the wild cards.
All right. So let's go, before we touch on Montreal, let's go to Buffalo. A lot of change in Buffalo. They got rid of Dan Mazvav. They brought in Phil Housley, Jack Eichel, another year. They're expecting big things from Jack Eichel. You think Buffalo, and this is no pun intended, finishes last in this division, or do we surprise and maybe even make a playoff spot?
Yeah, I think they probably find themselves, if not at the bottom of the division, they'll find themselves near the bottom. You mentioned Eichel, and Eichel has been so good this year. He was eighth in points per game after the All-Star break among players with at least 20 games played. And you think that he's probably a superstar, a megastar, I should say, not just a superstar, but a megastar in the making, although he is playing in one of the smaller markets. They have Benoit Pouliot and Jason Pominville coming in. Probably one of those is going to end up on a checking line, though. So I think that it could be very, very interesting there. But I think that this year is probably make or break for Robin Lehner, their goaltender. If he has a great season, I think that Buffalo may find themselves contending. But if he doesn't, it's going to be very, very difficult for them.
All right, Montreal Canadiens made a big splash with one of the players from your team that you cover, Jonathan Drouin. Now, is he going to play center? Is he going to play left wing? What? And they expect, because, you know, he's French-Canadian, they expect big, big things from him. And does Montreal bounce back? They still got the best goalie, arguably a top five defenseman in Shea Weber. And now if they got a center who can score, and Drouin, you know, once he's motivated, could score 25, 35 goals, what do you expect from him and what do you expect from the Canadians?
Well, to answer your first question, yes, Drouin's going to play center in Montreal. And they should expect a lot from Drouin because he is one of the most talented skaters that I've seen over the last couple of years. You know, I know that he had his troubles, whether with the regard to, you know, I want to be traded and sitting out and getting into all sorts of trouble with Steve Yzerman and John Cooper. And Cooper really had problems with him because he doesn't play 200 feet. He is what we like to call an old school NHL guy. He is one of those forwards that likes to hang around the blue line and try and get behind the defense and go for quick, easy goals when you get in all alone. But I certainly think that Drouin, they should expect a lot from him. I think he's going to provide a lot. You mentioned Shea Weber, you know, and then of course, the question is the greatest goalie in the, on the planet, as Phil Esposito likes to call Carey Price, is he going to be 100% healthy? I think that if he stays healthy with Weber and Drouin, Montreal finds himself in I think a better situation than Buffalo. But if he's not healthy all year long, I think Montreal finds himself in a worse spot than Buffalo.
All right, let's quickly get to the Metropolitan Division. Let's first start off with three New York teams, New Jersey, the Islanders, the Rangers. What do you expect from all three of these guys? And New Jersey, definitely unsung. They did some nice pickups. They got the first pick overall. New Jersey, not a lot of people are talking about it, but they could be the sleeper pick of the Eastern Conference, I think.
Yeah, you have last year they went and put Holland and Reek back together. It didn't work last year, but you don't think that they're not going to keep experimenting with now a healthy Travis Dajak. You know, I think that that having him would be huge as them. You have of course Nico Hershier, who was drafted last year. You know, they think he's going to keep developing his game. And then after, before losing Dajak, now they're going to have to push him up. You know, 18 years old, can he handle, 18, 19, 20 minutes per night in the NHL right off the bat? I'm not quite so sure. Excuse me. With the Islanders, you know, you've got they brought in Jordan Eberle to go in against to play with John Tavares. I think that makes that a much much better line. You know, you could end up goal scored just from being on the same line as John Tavares. I think that could be very interesting. They have a couple of very young players that should be big core this year as well in Josh Hosang and Ryan Pulak. And then you've got a couple of other young guys that could be seeing some significant time with Matthew Barzal and Michael Zakal. I think that it should be very interesting. The big question for them is who's going to play goalie for them. You know, they have a couple of goalies, and basically it's just like quarterbacks in the NFL. If you've got two, you basically have none. And so is Greiss or Halak going to most of the time in net, and are they going to be good enough to keep Islanders fans from wondering what the other one would look like if he was in net for some of these situations?
The other story in New York Islanders, what's going on with John Tavares? You know, we're in Toronto here, and it's the same way last year because you had it. Steven Stamkos is coming to Toronto. Steven Stamkos coming to Toronto, guaranteed. You're the only media guy who said for about 2 years, Steven Stamkos isn't going to go to Toronto. He's not leaving Tampa. So I'm going to go. I'm going to ask you, because you were the only guy in the media who said he's going to stay in Tampa. Is John Tavares leaving the New York Islanders?
Well, you know, I was right in saying that Steven Stamkos was not going to leave Tampa, because I thought that, you know, you had a chance to basically be able to live like a normal person in Tampa, whereas you're basically living the life of, you know, a megastar, and you can't go anywhere. You
much
can't
like myself.
Do anything during your downtime, much like you. I know that the paparazzi follow you around like nobody's business, Jolton Joe. I think that the difference is between a Tavares and a Stamkos. When Stamkos became a free agent, the Lightning are in this run of, you know, we're perennial contenders, not just for the playoffs, but for division titles and, you know, appearances in Stanley Cup finals. And I wouldn't want to leave that if I was Stamkos either. I don't see the Islanders being in that situation. And so I think that that makes Toronto look that much more enticing for Tavares. You're going to be able to play with a young guy like Austin Matthews, and you're going to be able to maybe have not quite so much pressure on you in that aspect. So I personally think that Tavares is going to go to the Maple Leafs.
Well, if he does go to Maple Leafs, we got a big problem here, because the Maple Leafs got top six players playing in the Marlies, the AHL team for the Toronto Maple Leafs. They don't need more forwards. They need two John Tavares on the defense. Put it that way. Now let's look at
yeah, but they're not going to get him. They're going to get him on the offense.
Yeah, maybe they want to win games 9-6, 9-7. But let's talk about
That's the other teams
in the Metropolitan Division: Carolina, Columbus, of course, Pittsburgh, Washington, and Philly. Let's first start off with Carolina, very up-and-coming team, and I don't expect Carolina to make the playoffs, but I expect them to have a better year than they did last year. What would you say, Steve?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that it's going to be difficult for Carolina to contend this year. You look at Justin Falk. He's had two seasons in a row in which he's declined. He's a liability plus minus. You know, for a defenseman, you just can't have that. You know, I think that that Justin Williams is coming full circle, coming back to Carolina. But I certainly think that that the Hurricanes are not going to be able to compete this year. I think it's going to be too difficult for them.
Interesting team for me is Philadelphia. I don't know what they're stuck in. Like, let's say it's Pittsburgh, Washington's division, and we talked about New York Rangers and Islanders and New Jersey. Where does this leave Philadelphia? Are they going to be stuck in to make the playoffs and fight for the playoffs? Or what's your opinion? Because Philadelphia is like the next two teams we're going to talk about, or three teams, Washington, Pittsburgh, Columbus, are probably the key teams to this division.
Yeah, I think you're right, and I think that Philadelphia is finding themselves in problems offensively. You look at it, really, they only have four forwards that you could really play as legitimate top six, you know, with Giroux and Simmons and Couturier and Jacob Voracek. I think that Philadelphia is going to find themselves playing a lot of 1-0 or scoring like one or maybe two goals in a game. I think they're going to have a really hard time trying to find themselves where they're going to find the offense from, especially early. They've got a couple of really really good young players, but I think that much like in New York and in New Jersey, when you've got young guys and you're not sure how they're going to be able to handle some significant NHL minutes, you tend to limit what they do early. And so I think that early Philadelphia could find themselves in big trouble trying to score. I think that their goaltending, bringing in Brian Elliott, is probably is probably a good thing, but I still think that it's going to be very difficult. You know, you can't win scoring zero, that as one of my colleagues used to say. So I think it's going to be real difficult for Philadelphia, especially early.
Actually, now in the NHL, you can win if you score zero because you got shootouts. You need to score one. That's it.
No, but if you're not even scoring, if you can't even score a shootout goal,
you're talking about the Maple Leafs. Then you're talking about the Maple Leafs. But let's close out this division with arguably the three best teams. Columbus had a great, great year last year. I don't know if they can match it. Pittsburgh, two-time defending Stanley Cup champions. I don't know if they could three-peat. And let's talk about Washington. We touched on baseball, how Clayton Kershaw, Washington, Bryce Harper are a snake bitten in the playoffs. But how do you like to be Alex Ovechkin in the playoffs? Is this the year that finally Washington gets to the Stanley Cup? Forget wins it. Just gets to the third round or to the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, we'll start in Columbus because any team that has Sergei Bobrovsky is going to find themselves in good shape to start. And then, you know, you see you get Artemi Panarin to come over from Chicago, and all of a sudden now you find yourself with a guy who could be a potential top 10 scorer in the league even without Patrick Kane on his line. So I certainly think that you're going to see that you've got some really, really nice moves there for the Blue Jackets. Pierre-Luc Dubois is a name that has been in juniors for the last couple of years. He was, I believe, their first pick last year, but went back to juniors for one more season. And so I would expect to see him this year with the Blue Jackets. And getting a chance to shine as a 19-year-old, I think that could be real interesting. And getting into the Washington Capitals, this has got to be the year that Ovechkin makes even the conference finals. I can't believe that a player of his caliber cannot even get to the conference finals in the postseason. I don't know if that's just the curse of the Cats. You know, they tried, you know, five or six different head coaches. They've tried all sorts of line mates with him. They've moved him up. They've moved him down. What do you do? You know, I don't know. If Barry Trotz can't get him to a conference final, I don't know if he'll ever get to a conference final.
Right. You're just starting October, where starting the NHL season, I'm going to put you on the line. This is why you're the Hall of Famer, Steve Carty of WDA Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida. Give me your top eight teams. Who makes the playoffs in the Eastern Conference? And even better, who makes the Stanley Cup Finals?
Oh, my goodness. All right. So so you need three from each side and then the two wild cards. Well, on the Atlantic side, you're going to – I'm going to take Tampa Bay, I'm going to take Ottawa, and I'm going to take Toronto as the three teams, as the top three teams in the division.
Okay.
On the Metropolitan side, give me Pittsburgh, give me Columbus, and give me Washington. And then the two wild cards I will take are also both from the Metropolitan, so I'll take the Devils and the Islanders. So I think that the Met gets five, and the Atlantic gets three for the playoffs. As for who makes the Stanley Cup Finals, you know what? I'm going to be a homer. Give me the Lightning.
Homer. All right, you're a homer. Now you're listening to Steve Carty of WDE Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida. We previewed the East. Now let's get to the West, and it's going to be quickly this time. Let's start off with the Central: Chicago, Colorado, Dallas, Minnesota, Nashville, St. Louis. There's, in particular, this division is really like a division I look forward to because you got the Blackhawks. You know they're looking to bounce back after getting swept. Then you got Colorado. They can't get worse than they did last year. And what's going to happen with Matthew Shane? Then you got Dallas. Dallas, to me, is like Philadelphia, like we talked about in the Metropolitan Division. Minnesota, always up, down, up, down. St. Louis, the same thing. Winnipeg, the same thing. And Nashville, Stanley Cup finalist.
Yeah, and don't forget Minnesota. I think as you mentioned all those teams, you know, yeah. whether it's Chicago or Colorado, you know, Nashville or with Colorado, you know, I think Minnesota could be just as good a team as any of those. So I think that they go and they get Jason Pominville in a trade, and I certainly think that while he is definitely on the downward slide, if you know what I mean, I think that that he's going to provide the leadership up front, and I think that they've got enough defense, and especially in the goaltending department, to find themselves challenging as well.
Okay. And then quickly, let's go to the Pacific. Anaheim, Arizona, Calgary, Edmonton, Los Angeles, San Jose, Vancouver, and Vegas. All right, so let's start off with Vegas. First of all, condolences to everybody there. Crazy scene that what happened the last couple of days there. But what do you expect from Vegas? Arguably the best expansion team in the MLS. We have a very good expansion team. The, you know, Atlanta United FC, everybody's called United in MLS, and they're going to be probably, you know, second place in their conference. If I'm going to say Vegas, do you think they make second place in their division?
No, I don't think Vegas makes second place in the division. I think that you're going to see, with Connor McDavid in the division, I think that you automatically have to look at Edmonton as being one of the favorites in the division. I think that Los Angeles has to bounce back. And when you have two guys named Sedin in Vancouver, I think that you probably find yourself in contendership there as well. So I would say that they probably have at least an opportunity to finish fourth, which for an expansion team is almost unheard of. Because I think that Anaheim and especially Arizona and Calgary find themselves in big trouble this year. You talk about battling for the first overall pick in next year's draft. But I think Vegas finds himself in the middle of the pack this year. You're not going to see them contend for a postseason berth, but if they finish fourth or fifth in the division and a distant fourth or fifth, I think that could be I would say that's a big success in that market.
Now, we mentioned at the start of this, Jaromír Jágr. What does Jágr bring to Calgary? Is that the mix that they need to get to the playoffs and win a round or two?
I think that it's possible. I think if they are going to make the postseason and even win a round, it's because of what they learned from Jágr. I don't know if he's got the wheels to really significantly contribute, especially in some of those really cold nights in Calgary during January and February. I think that that Jágr, being in his late 40s, is more of a almost a coach on the ice as opposed to being a true scorer. But he can still handle the puck. He's still probably, while he's not a fast skater, he definitely knows how to enter a zone and how to break down a defense. And so I think that if they are going to make the playoffs and they are going to win a round, it's going to be because of the old man at the front of the line.
All right, final question before I get to your predictions here. You mentioned Edmonton, but let's talk about the three California teams, Anaheim, Los Angeles, San Jose. Los Angeles, a couple years away, removed from the Stanley Cup final. San Jose made the Stanley Cup final a couple years ago, and Anaheim was, you know, almost at the Stanley Cup final last year. Did these three teams take a step up or take a step back?
You know, it's a good question. I thought that LA had a really good preseason, and I know you're putting into preseason hockey almost what you put into preseason football. You don't take a whole lot of stock into the preseason. But I thought that, you know, looking at you know, some of the highlights, and I didn't get a chance to watch any of the Kings games. I thought from what I did see highlight wise, I thought that they looked like they were already in regular season shape, some of these young guys, and I think that that's probably a good look if you want to see them move up. I think that San Jose is probably on the pace of moving up as well, and can Anaheim stay the same? I'm not quite so sure. I think that Anaheim might be the team that ends up moving back.
All right, so I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked you in the East. Give me your playoff teams and a Stanley Cup finalist, and then I'll ask you something that I know here in Canada we do, you know, we're just a couple of days away from the start of season. Give me your four or five top fantasy picks.
Oh, boy.
I'm putting you to work hard today, Steve. Come on.
Yeah, you're definitely putting me under the gun there, Casey. I'm going to say the Central just always seems like it's more a much stronger conference year in and year out. So I think, you know, give me Nashville, of course. With Dallas now having Ben Bishop in net, give me the Stars as well, because I've seen Bish for the last few years here in Tampa, and the folks in Dallas are going to be really, really excited that they have big number 30 in net. So give me Dallas. Give me Chicago as well, of course. I think the Blackhawks, perennials. Let's see here. And you know what? Give me the Minnesota Wild. I'll take four from the Central. I'll take those four. And then on the Pacific side, I will take Edmonton, of course. I'll take the Los Angeles Kings. I'll take Vancouver, and I will take Anaheim.
All right, and who makes the Stanley Cup out of the West?
I would love to see Connor McDavid versus Steven Stamkos. So my heart is saying Edmonton. Now I try not to pick with my heart, so unless I'm being a homer. Another repeat from Nashville. So I'll take the praise.
All right. Now, I asked you the top four or five fantasy picks. Go ahead. Because I know you're probably doing this, this week also, your fantasy. So, give me your top four or five. Let's say three forwards, two defensemen.
Oh man, I am so bad at fantasy hockey. I played for the first time last year, and I was so bad at it. I basically am in a keeper league with a bunch of friends of mine, and I just am.
Here's maybe a better question. Give me your offensive player of the year and defensive player of the year. And does Carey Price again win the Vezina?
I think as long as Carey Price stays healthy, you have to put him perennially into the finals. I think if Braden Holtby has another strong year, he was so good last year, Washington all the way up until the postseason, but then. The awards are only for regular season, so I think you could put him in there as well. And Matt Murray, I think, is another guy. Fantasy wise, I'll tell you the guy that helped me the most, and a guy that I was kind of like, I didn't even recognize this guy, but he's a guy out west, and that's Brent Burns from the San Jose Sharks. Just perennially the best defenseman in hockey, fantasy wise. So I would say if you're playing daily hockey, and I play daily hockey a lot more than I play season long. I always made sure that I had Brent Burns in my lineup, and I always made sure that I had Erik Karlsson of Ottawa if they were playing that night in my lineup.
Brett Burns, you got to grow that beard, because no wonder you can't notice him, because that beard is all over.
Oh, I know. I think it's wild, but yeah, playing out west, you go, you know, I totally forgot about him. So I always once I had him in my lineup once, and he did well. I always made sure that if I was playing fantasy hockey on a night that the Sharks were playing, that he was in my lineup. I made sure of it. Let's see, forward wise, you know, the guys that you expect to be at the top are guys that are going to be there. And if you have Patrick Kane in your lineup, you're probably going to get a lot of points. The guy that everybody has been jumping on, especially this year in season-long hockey, is Nikita Kucherov of the Lightning. After another strong year last year, I think that he's probably going to be a guy that you're going to see in a lot of lineups this year. And then, of course, the new guy in Boston, David Pastrnak, is a guy that most fantasy guys are also very high on.
That's Steve Carney of WBA Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida. Steve, tell everybody how they can listen to you and get a hold of you.
Oh, yeah, we're on iHeartRadio. You can just search for 620 WBAE. We're on iHeartRadio. And, of course, if you're in Tampa, you should know 620 and 95.3 FM.
That's right. According to Steve, the Tampa Bay Lightning are going to the Stanley Cup, and Steve's going to put me up there once we go to the Stanley Cup final. Right, Steve?
Yeah, you got it, Joe.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
I'll find a spot in my closet for you.
All right. Closet? No, that's where we put Norm. Come on. All right. in that vein, that's Steve Carney of WBA Radio in Tampa Bay, Florida. Thanks a lot, Steve.
You got it, Joe.